Welcome back to day four of Personal Power. Hey, I want to congratulate you on your commitment and keeping it to follow through each and every day and build one success on the day before. It's this kind of simple daily input that creates the chains of positive success programming instead of the old conditioning that may have controlled some of your success or failure in the past. So let's get started. Obviously, you've already done your exercise. I don't even have to bring that up anymore, do I? Well, good. Today, what we're going to study is what is and how to use neuroassociative conditioning, step by step. Now, this science of neuroassociative conditioning, or knack as I call it, the metaphor I use is giving you the knack of taking control of your life, I developed this science out of frustration, quite honestly. You see, for many years, I've been considered to be one of the top experts in the science of neuro-linguistic programming. And that was a science that I originally studied with its co-founder. I didn't develop it, but I really mastered what he taught. And I was incredibly impressed by the work. It allowed me to make changes in people with lightning-like speed, changes that for years they've been trying to make in their own life but have been unable to do. In fact, I became rather famous in a short period of time by getting on national television and basically challenging other therapists, saying, bring me your worst patient, give me somebody that you have difficulty with, or give me somebody out of your audience right now that's got a lifetime problem, maybe a phobia, for example, and I'll eliminate that problem right here on television over the next 30 minutes. And it wasn't a magic bullet. It didn't work in every case. But fortunately, it worked every time I was on TV. And that really helps. But the bottom line is, I got frustrated where it didn't work. You know, I began to wonder, okay, why isn't it working in this situation? Because I was looking for the cure-all, if you will. And I also noticed something else that bothered me about NLP, and that was that a large number of the people that were involved in it became almost, it became almost like a religion, where it was like that was the only answer. And I wasn't for that because I could look around and see that every kind of therapy works. I don't care what it is you want to change in your life. You always want to change one of two things. You either want to change how you feel about things or you want to change your behavior. You say, no, Tony, no, that's not what I want. I want to change my money situation. Well, the only way you're going to change your money situation is by changing the way you feel and the way you behave. Does that make sense? So I've noticed that I don't care what the problem is, whether someone was raped, they've had a tremendous fear trauma growing up, it was a situation where they were physically harmed, something they were emotionally harmed, it was a bad set of habits. I don't care what it is you want to change in your life. You had a poor relationship with your mother or father. Every form of therapy works some of the time. So rather than making all the therapies wrong, I find out what really do they all have in common that made them successful when they were successful. And then once I discovered that common element, how could we make that happen more rapidly and with less pain? Those are my criteria for success. So let's take a problem. Let's say, for example, you had a problem with your father and you felt like you're overwhelmed by them, like he controlled you and you can't express yourself because you're always in a subservient position and now you live that way in your daily life and you see it doesn't work because it doesn't allow you to express your feelings. You don't go for it 100%, you feel shut down. How would you deal with that? Well, there are a zillion ways using various types of therapies. Let's take a look. We've already said that what we do is based on what we associate to things. So again, if you associate expressing your opinions going to equal pain, you're not going to do it. So what is the therapist's job? Get you to associate that expressing yourself could mean pleasure and not pain. That not expressing yourself would mean pain. What are the various ways of going about that? Well, one would be to use Gestalt therapy. In Gestalt therapy, what would you do? Well, they would take you in and the therapist would understand that a lot of the frustration and challenges in your life come from your beliefs about your relationship with your father and what you can and can't do. So what would this good Gestalt therapist do? Highly likely, they'd pull out a chair and they'd say, see this chair? This is your dad. You got to change how you feel about him and realize you're in power. What he'll tell you is, I want you to scream and yell. Let him know how you really feel. Let him know that you're in charge. Let him know. Let him have it. And so you go, well, Dad, I don't feel like you gave me enough space to communicate. And they'll go, no, no, express how you really feel. Let it out there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And sure enough, finally you make you emotional enough. You're going, Dad, I'm in charge. I'm a big person now. And you know what? As silly as this sounds, it works. If you really think that that chair for a moment, if in your head you associate that's your dad and you feel strong, there's your dad and you feel strong and there's your dad and you feel strong for the first time in your life, when you think of your dad, you may feel strong, be able to express yourself clearly. So it does work, as silly as it may sound. Now, obviously, this is a generalization about Gestalt, but it gives you a good picture. Now, let's try another form of therapy. Let's say I got the same problem, but you go to rational emotive therapy. There, a competent therapist is going to teach you that your frustration is not having anything to do with your boss or your dad or your brother or your sister, but specifically it's not your dad. It's caused by your own irrational beliefs about your dad. Now you have the pain of feeling stupid for believing all this crazy stuff, and it's also making you suffer a little bit. And so your brain finally says, I don't want that pain. And he says, look, if you just change your beliefs, you could feel better. And through this conversation, if you trust the therapist and if they're competent enough, pretty soon you may change what you associate to your relationship with your dad. Sure enough, your behavior changes again. But notice what has changed when it works, because it doesn't always work. The neuroassociation has changed. That's when the therapy works. When you now have a new meaning for what being with your dad means, you have a new meaning for relationship. Let's try another approach. Let's say you try Rogerian counseling. There, the therapist listens and reflects back what you say about yourself with your father, with unconditional positive regard with you and without any judgment for you. He or she will tell you that you have the resources within yourself to solve the problem. And what they'll do is create a place for you to feel very, very appreciated and loved, hold you in a very strong and respected light. And as you feel better about yourself and you talk about this, you have kind of a reputation to live up to. And as a result, pretty soon, you may begin to change your associations in your mind about who you are and what that relationship really is. As a result, ammo, all of a sudden, the change you wanted has happened. You feel freed. Now you can go out and communicate and be who you are. Again, simple approach. Let's say you got the same problem. You want to go for Freudian therapy, or as we call it, non-directive therapy. There, what happens is you lie on a couch and talk to yourself for about 4 or 5 years. I'm being only slightly exaggerating here. And what happens, though, is that you say things, you ask questions, and all they do is reflect them back to you, get you to think about them. And by reevaluating your life in so many different details, and you're feeling different now than you did then, eventually, hopefully, you make new neuroassociations. Although there's no guarantee in this therapy because the therapist is not to direct you. That's what non-directive therapy means. The only challenge I have with it is how long it takes. So all therapies work, and we've already identified what happens at the moment they actually work. In other words, when somebody has a breakthrough, what is that breakthrough? The breakthrough is at that moment, the meaning of what's happened in their life has changed. They've changed what they associate to that person or that situation. For example, if somebody had been raped, they're going to continue to have trauma until they change the meaning. In other words, the reason they feel upset and the anger and the hurt and the pain, they have every right to, but the reason is what that means to them. That means they were violated. It means their life's out of control. It means, let's say, that they're dirty. Whatever it is that they've associated in their head is making them feel pain. Now, people who change that have changed the meaning. There comes a point where that rape now means that they're stronger than they've ever been in their life and they can now help other people. Or that rape now means that it'll never happen again because they know how to handle themselves. Or that rape means it's a chance for them to expand. I don't know what it is. It's different for every person. But if the meaning doesn't change, the person's life doesn't change. There's a gentleman by the name of Viktor Frankl who wrote a book that you should read. It's called Man's Search for Meaning. Fabulous book. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist of Jewish heritage who during World War II had the unbelievably unfortunate experience of being locked up in a Nazi concentration camp where death seemed certain. Now, the interesting thing that happened there is while most people just gave up and died, he somehow, through a series of experiences, began to trigger and associate to being in that camp the possibility of power and pleasure. What do I mean by that? Well, what he noticed was that maybe 1 out of 25 people were going to live. But he wanted to know what made that 1 out of 25 make it while everybody else around them died. And as he began to study and pay attention and talk to these people, he found that the difference is what they associated to their experience in the camp. For most people, being in the camp meant instant death. They gave up right away. Or they began to think about and focus on continuously, why has God done this to me? Why am I going through all this pain? The people who survived developed a reason to do so. That is, they developed a meaning for their suffering. In other words, instead of just suffering for no reason, which means ultimate pain, they said, I am suffering so that I can come back and tell the story to my children and make sure this never, ever happens again on earth. And for them, the ability to come back and tell that story, the ability to touch the future, was enough pleasure that it enabled them to create a meaning out of their present pain. In other words, if they could just hang in here through this pain, the ultimate pleasure in the long term would be worth much more than the pain they were going through. They had a reason to live. They had a meaning. And by changing the meaning of their suffering to something that would eventually make a difference, they were able to make it through, and they had a will to live that was so strong, they pulled themselves through the toughest times.